And he gathered his tribesmen from his side of the family, and he seized power. And he developed a number of offices. He developed, during his time, five basic positions. Now, Qusay acted as a king. And he really was the oldest king-like person in the sense that he ruled over the whole of Mecca itself. And he ordered the construction of houses near the Kaaba. And so for the first time was an organized building of houses around the Kaaba itself. And he ordered that the family of Quraysh, that the family who had direct descendants back to Adnan, they should live closest to the Kaaba. And then according to your lineage, you would live out, and then the Christians or the Jews and other people would live on the outskirts, living far out. Also, he built what is called Dar al-Nadwa, a meeting center. It's sort of like a city hall or a clubhouse. And in that Dar al-Nadwa were the meeting of the elders to decide on issues of the community. All of the weddings were held there. If a war was decided upon, they would leave from the Nadwa. And so it was a very crucial point of meeting that was made by Qusay. He also taxed Quraysh. And he said, because you are the noble people living here, then you should take a certain portion of your wealth and give it towards the pilgrims and the people who are coming into Mecca. So travelers who would come in would get water and food without having to pay. And this was part of the wisdom of Qusay, because by doing that, he raised the status of Quraysh, and he also made it very viable for people to come off the desert and then first drink and eat and relax themselves, and then they could do business. Now, the five positions that he made. Number one, he made Hijaba. Hijaba was the guardianship of the keys to the Kaaba. So this was one of the responsibilities that he had as the leader. In other words, his job description, we would call it today. Two, he made al-liwa, or qiyada. And the qiyada means the leadership of the army. The liwa was the flag. So literally, this is the military leader. So he was also the military leader. Three, the position of Nadwa, which was the chairmanship of all of the meetings. So any meeting held in Dar al-Nadwa, he would have to be the chairman. And so this is like the mayor of the town. Four, Siqaya. This is the provision of water. And five, Rifada, which is the provision of food. So there were five key portfolios. Some people would say the minister of the keys to the Kaaba, the minister of defense, the minister or the mayor, the prime minister, the minister of water, the minister of food. You see, so he made ministries. So he literally now developed a political structure for Mecca. Now, when Qusay became old and feeble, he looked at his sons. And when you see the chart, which will be coming to you, you will find that that from Qusay, he had a number of sons. Of those sons was Abdul Uzza, Abdul Manaf, and Abdul Dar. These are the three key people within his family. Abdul Dar was the oldest son. And Abdul Dar was given the positions, all of the five positions were given to Abdul Dar. Abdul Manaf, however, was a natural leader, and he was highly respected by the people of Mekkatul Mukarramah. And so a struggle then began to unfold. And it's important for us to realize power struggles, because this forms what I would call jahiliyyah. It's your ignorance. And everybody has a type of jahiliyyah. In Cape Town, you might say, well, I come from Wynberg, I come from Manenberg, I come from Mitchell's Plain. In America, they say, I come from New York City, I come from Chicago. It's sort of like your background. What is your tribe? What part of the city did you come from? What is your power base? And so that forms part of the personality. And so amongst the sons of Abdu-Manaf were Al-Muttalib, Hashim, Nawfal, and Abdu-Shams. You see that coming there? Underneath Abdu-Manaf, you can see the names. Abdu-Shams is also one of the sons. And so a struggle began to develop between these two sides of the families. And because the family of Abdu-Manaf was so powerful, they were about to seize power, to seize all of the positions. And so they came together and they made a treaty amongst themselves to struggle to do war called Hilf al-Mutayyibin, the pact of those who dipped their hands into itar, tib. So they literally dipped their hands into perfume, put their hands together, and they made an oath that they would fight for the power in the city. The other members of the other son, Abdu-Dar, they made a treaty, Hilf al-Ahlaf, the alliance of the allies, and they also agreed to fight. So a civil war was about to break out, but the people of Mecca came together, the wise people of Mecca came together, and they made an agreement, Hilf al-Fudul, which was an agreement of the tribes. And so from this agreement, the sons of Abdu-Manaf were given Rifada and Siqaya. They were given the responsibility to give water to the pilgrims and the visitors and to feed them. And the sons of Abdu-Dar were given Liwa, or Qiyada, the leadership, Nadwa, the mayorship, and Hijaba, the keys to the Kaaba itself. And this peace, Hilf al-Fudul, lasted right up until the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And what is important is that you will actually see the power struggle developing between family members. Now, when you look here at your charts, you will see underneath Abdu-Manaf is Hashim. And Hashim was a natural leader. And he developed himself in the tradition of his grandfather Qusay. He encouraged the feeding of the pilgrims. He taxed Quraysh, and he literally spread the power and influence of Mecca throughout the civilized world. It is reported that Hashim was so active politically that he went to the Byzantine Roman Empire of the north, and he made a treaty with Heraclius, the Roman emperor, who welcomed the Arabs into Ankara, what is now present-day Ankara in Turkey. That was the capital at that point. They welcomed the Arabs into their capital, and they gave them an open permission to do trade along the coastline. Also, he introduced he solidified the trade going from Hijaz up and down, which is now known as the trade of the summer and the winter, Rihlat al-Shita wal-Sayf, which is mentioned in Surat al-Quraysh. He was the one who actually solidified this trade. He got his name was Amr, but the name Hashim, and this is very important for us as students of knowledge, the name Hashim comes from Hashama, which means to crush. And it is reported that Hashim, during a drought and a famine in Mecca, he made soup. He was so wealthy that he made soup and he crushed up bread. And he fed everybody in Mecca until the drought was over. And so from that, because he did Hashama, he broke up the bread, they called him Hashim. But his name was actually Amr. For amongst his achievements is that under his leadership, his brothers, Nawfal, Al-Muttalib, and Abdu-Shams, made treaties under his leadership. Nawfal made a treaty with the Persians. Al-Muttalib made a treaty with the Himyadis of Yemen. And Abd al-Shams made a treaty with al-Najashi, the Negus, in Ethiopia. So by making these treaties, then the caravans of Quraysh were welcomed and protected when they went to the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, when they went south to Yemen, when they went across the Red Sea to Ethiopia. This all happened underneath the leadership of Hashim. So this name is a very important name to the people of the Arabian Peninsula. What happened during that time is that one of the children of Abd al-Shams, who would be the nephew of Hashim, his name was Umayyah, and he was thirsty for power. And so he began to struggle against Hashim. But the people rejected him, and he was exiled for 10 years. He had to go north to Syria. He was not allowed to live in Mecca. And so jealousy developed. And see, hasad is a dangerous thing in human beings. Such jealousy developed on the part of Umayyah for Hashim that the struggle continued between the Umayyads and the Hashimis, and it's still going on right now. For those of you who know Islamic history, let's take a little jump. And you will see that in Mecca itself, the people we call Quraysh, the Mushrikeen of Quraysh, were basically made up of family members from Umayyah and also from Abd al-Dar, family members of Abd al-Dar. These are the ones who had the military power, the political power. So they were literally the leaders of Mecca at the time when the Prophet ﷺ came up. And the people who were generally supporting him in the beginning and who took the leadership were coming out of the family of directly from Hashim. And so you'll find that after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, the Khulafa al-Rashideen took over. After their time was Banu Umayyah. That's where the name comes from. So the Umayyad dynasty that ruled for 100 years after the righteous caliphs came from Umayyah. And they used that name because of the struggle that went on. After that time, Banu Abbas. And Abbas, coming down a little bit from Hashim, his son, Abdul Muttalib, and then Abdul Muttalib's children, there is Hamza, Al-Abbas, Abdullah, Abu Lahab, Abu Talib, Al-Harith. You see Abbas. From that family came the ruling dynasty called Banu Abbas or the Abbasids. And they struggled against the Umayyads. So this is how power struggles were developed amongst the Arab peoples. What is important for us, going back to Hashim, what is important for us is that Hashim, on one of his journeys in Yathrib, which was later to be called Medina, on one of his journeys, he saw a woman of the Khazraj, who was a noble woman. And by her deportment, how she carried herself, and how she spoke, and what they said about her, he realized she was a noble woman. Her name was Salma. And so he proposed to her to marry her. And from their marriage came their son, Shayba. And Shayba and his mother lived in Mecca for a period of time and then returned to Yathrib, to Medina. Hashim, who did a lot of traveling to the north, traveled to Syria, and he got sick in Gaza, which is now in Palestine, and he died. And so Hashim's son was Shayba. His brother was Al-Muttalib. Al-Muttalib then, wanting to connect the family, went to Medina, and he brought back the son, Shayba. Now, when the people of Mecca saw this boy coming in with Al-Muttalib, running in front of him, they said, oh, this is Abdul Muttalib. That's the slave of Al-Muttalib. And so he said, no, that's not my slave. This is my brother's son. But the name Abdul Muttalib stuck with the boy. That's the reason why his name is Abdul Muttalib, the slave of Al-Muttalib. But his name was actually Shayba. Okay, you see, these bits of knowledge will help us, you know, to understand more the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And so, Abdul Muttalib was a person also who carried this charisma. It's a type of charisma. And really, it starts with Qusay, and it comes back with Abd al-Manaf, and then with Hashim. It's something that they're carrying with them. It's a charisma in their body language and their generosity, and the people are naturally attracted to them. Abd al-Muttalib was carrying this, and the people were naturally attracted to him, and he became also the leader of Mecca.